Okay, today's daf is the Basra daf Beis. We begin a new Masechta today. This is the longest Masechta in Shas, at least in terms of dapim, not in terms of words. The Rashbam made this a very long Masechta when he took over and had a lot more to write, or had a much more lengthy commentary than Rashi. The first issue in Masechta Basra is why we have Masechta Basra over here. Masechta Basra deals primarily with issues relating to neighbors, to shutfin. The Masechta is going to talk about issues bein adam lechavero that come as a result of karka, that neighbors damage each other, dividing up karkaos that are between two partners, chazaka in karka, mazik karka, selling, buying, bitul mekach, these types of Yerusha, Nachla. We're going to have a lot of Yerusha, Nachla toward the end of the Masechta. So what is Masechta Basra doing specifically over here? So first of all, we have to even know if that's a question. Do we have to ask that question? What do you mean? It has to go somewhere, so why shouldn't it be over here? So the first matter of, the first order of business for Tosfos is to establish that that's a fair question to ask. Why Masechta Basra is here? Tosfos points out, Kula Nezikin Chada Masechta, Yikadamnin Bagoz Alkam Perakam Davod Zara, that first of all of the Nezikin is one Masechta, and therefore, with certainly within one book, you can question why something is placed in a certain chapter of the book and not an earlier chapter, not a later chapter. So if you hold that Kula Nezikin Chada Masechta, there's no doubt that it's a fair question to ask what Babash was doing over here. But then Tosfos says, Vafilu lo avi Chada Masechta, Tzarech Lefarish Lama Nishnas Masechta Zu Achar Bab Metzia. Even if it were not one Masechta, even if it were clearly separate Masechtos, you would still be allowed to ask what's Baba Basra doing over here after Baba Metzia, because we find that the Gemara asks a very similar question at the beginning of Masechta Shavuos, that it says, Michti Tana Mimakos Salak Maishna Dukatani Shavuos. Why is it that we have Shavuos right after Masechta Makos, and you have in several places in Shas, by one Masechta leading into the next, that the Gemara wants to know why it is that we have one Masechta after the other? Tos says, aye, but what about the idea of Ein Seder L'Mishna? Doesn't Ein Seder L'Mishna mean that there's no logical progression from one Masechta to the other? Tos says that is not what Ein Seder L'Mishna means. Ein Seder L'Mishna means that the way that Rebbe taught the Mishnayos in his shir was not the Seder that we have of the Masechtos. But certainly when he was writing the book, he certainly organized the book in a reasonable order. It's just that when he was teaching it in his shir, he didn't necessarily teach it in the order that we have it. And therefore, you cannot be medayek from machlokas v'achar kach stam. If you have machlokas in an earlier Mishnah and a stam in a Mishnah in a later Masechta, that Rebbe must have resolved the issue, resolved the machlokas, and come to some sort of conclusion. Because we don't know that Rebbe learned the later Masechta later. Rebbe might have learned the later Masechta earlier, but that doesn't mean that there's no logical progression in the themes of the Masechtos. It just means that it doesn't necessarily trace Rebbe's life as we're going through the Mishnayos of the Masechtos. And therefore, Tos says, it is a fair question to ask what Masechus Baba Basra is doing after Masechus Baba Metzia. Who disagrees? The Tos spends two-thirds of the Tos is just pointing out that it's a fair question to ask. Obviously, someone must hold that it's not a fair question to ask. So the Shittim Gebet says, in the Hagdamah to Masechus Baba Metzia says, you do not need a reason why one Masechta comes after another one. Even if you hold all of Nezikin is one Masechta, because it all deals with Dine Mamanis, it's Dafka by Masechus Shavuos, where there's no Shaychus whatsoever to Masechus Makos at face value, or by Masechus Sota after Masechus Nazir, where it seems that there's no Shaychus whatsoever. That's where the Gemara asks, why is this Masechta after that Masechta? But that's not the Lamed al Klal Kuli. Those two examples in Shas where the Gemara asks, what's this Masechta doing here? Those are exceptions. That is not Megala, that every Masechta needs some sort of reason. If there's even some loose thematic link, you know, just the same basic general topic, Dine Mamanus, that's enough to explain why one is right after the other. So that's what the first half of Tosfos is disagreeing with, that notion of the Shita Mekubetzes. So what taka is the reason that this Masechta, if you say like Tosel said, it's a fair question, what taka is the reason that this Masechta comes after Bava Metzia? So Tosel points out it's obvious. V'omari, da'hainu taima mishum dekai, yahach birka dela'el, ha'bayis v'aliyah, shalbayis, shanaflu, cholkim be'etzim, v'chulei. We were just discussing at the end of Bava Metzia that if you have two different people, one owns the bottom floor, the other owns the top floor, and the whole house caves in, how do you divide up the wood? wood and the building materials. So Vikari Luhasam Begemara Shutvin, and the Gemara over there calls them Shutafin. They are called partners. Vikatani Nami Beis Gino Zual Gavzu Vyarek Beinatayim Davinin Shutafus. And we also have the notion in the end of Maseches Bar Metzia. You have the case where you have two gardens, one on, and there's an incline between them, and there's the vegetation that's growing on the incline. And also, it's talking about issues relating to neighbors and relating to partners. So it fits beautifully into what the beginning of Maseches Baba Basra is all about. So that's how Tosfos explains. The Rambam says differently. The Rambam in his Hakdama to the Pirush Mishnayos goes through the order of every Masechta in Shas and why it is that we go from this Masechta to that Masechta. So he goes through all of it. So first he says in the beginning of Seder Nezikin, Shor Bar Hever Chovel B'Chavero, because the first thing we have to do is make sure that people aren't directly damaging each other. And then Bab Metzia, which talks about Tainus and Schirus and Shomrim, because after Niske Shor and Bar and Hever, the Torah itself goes on to Dine HaShomrim. And then, says the Rambam, we have Maseches Bab Basra, which talks about Chalukas Karkaos and Shutvus and Bitul Mekach and Memkar and Archos and Yerusha. And the reason why that's last is because all of it is Kabbalah V'Divrei Svaros. That all of it is logic and Divrei Kabbalah. It's not really, what's the parsha in the Torah that talks about these issues? There is none. Meaning Maseches Baba Kama, there are very clear psukim talk about the Avos Nezikin. And Maseches Baba Metzia also, very clear psukim talk about Dinei Shomrim. Where are the psukim in the Torah that discuss Maseches Baba Basra issues? They don't exist. There are no psukim in the Torah. It's all Svaros and Midivrei Kabbalah. And therefore, we save it for last. That's why the Rambam thinks that Maseches Baba Basra is put after everything else. So let us begin Maseches Baba Basra. Oh, I forgot to mention, what are the themes we're going to have in today's daf? So first, the Mishnah is going to talk about when neighbors can and cannot force each other to contribute materials and space for building a wall, if they want to build a wall between them. And then the Gemara is going to mention that there are two ways to interpret the word Ratzu in our Mishnah, the second word of the Masechta, Sharatzu. And those two ways of interpreting Ratzu are going to impact on the major issue of today's daf and tomorrow's daf, which is, is Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek, or is Hezek Re'iyah Lav Shmei Hezek? Is it considered damage, the fact that someone can see into my property? They're not doing anything, they're not physically hurting me, they can see into my property. Do we consider that to be Hezek, or do we not consider that to be Hezek? That is impacted on how we understand, by how we understand the word Ratzu. And in fact, the entire Amud Beis is going to work within the Shita that Hezek Re'iyah Lav Shmei Hezek, that it's not considered damaging when someone is looking into your property. The Gemara is going to have six rayas against that. The Gemara is going to bring six kashas, six rayas that seem to indicate that Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek, and the Gemara dismisses one right after the other, rejects each of those six rayas. All of that, our entire daf is the Lishna Kam, it's the first Lashon of the Gemara, where we assume Hezek Re'iyah is Lav Shmei Hezek. We'll move on later to the next lashon, which assumes Hezek Re'iyah is Shmei Hezek. So let's see the Mishnah. Hashutaf in Sharatzu Lasos Mechitza B'Chatzer. If two partners want to build a Mechitza in their Chatzer, Bonin es Hakosel Be'emtza. They build the wall right in the middle of the Chatzer. Makom Shenagu Livnos Gvil Gazis Kfisin Levenin. If the minig in a certain place is to build with one type of brick or another type of brick or a third type of brick or a fourth type of brick, they do whatever the type of brick is the minig Medina, whatever the general practice is that people build with, that's what they build with. Gvil, if they're going to build with Gvil, which is the thickest type of brick, it's 6 tfachim wide, so who gives up the space of 6 tfachim in their side of the property? Zenos in Gimel tfachim v'zenos in Gimel tfachim. They contribute evenly. Each one gives 3 tfachim of space to put up this wall between them. Big Gazis, if they're building with Gazis, which is 5 tfachim wide, Zenos in tfachayim u'mechza v'zenos in tfachayim u'mechza. Each of them give 2.5 tvachim. Big kfisin, if they're building with kfisin, which is 4 tvachim wide, Zenosin Tvachaim, Vizenosin Tvachaim. Each of them give two Tvachim. And as you could have predicted, Bilevenin, if they're building with Levenin, which is three Tvachim wide, Zenosin Tvachim Mechza, Vizenosin Tvachim Mechza. Each one gives one and a half Tvachim. They shoulder the responsibility of giving up space for the wall evenly. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Lefichach, Im Nafala Kosa, let's say there was a wall that was built years ago. We have no recollection who built it, who paid for it, who gave up the space for it. We just know that there was a wall that divided these two halves of the chatzer. So what do we do with the building materials which may be valuable? So Im Nafala Kosa, Hamag, and what do we do with the space that the wall was on? That's certainly valuable. Hamakom va'avanim shel shneihem. Both the space and the materials get divided evenly, because since that's the halacha in the first place, that you have to contribute evenly to building a wall, and you have to, so we assume that it was done properly initially, and therefore it gets divided evenly. V'chein begina, and similarly in a garden, makom shenagu ligdar mechayvin oso. If it's a place where the minig is to build a fence, then we're mechayiv both of them to build the fence, and they build the fence by each contributing half of the property and half of the materials. Aval bibika, but if you're out in open fields, maka where you're growing grain, these large open fields, makom shenagu shelo ligdar ain mechayven oso. And the Gemara is going to explain what makom shenagu shelo ligdar is coming to do, but we're going to say that it means that typically a field is not a place where the minig is to build. So typically a field is, since it's makom shenagu shelo ligdar, you can't be mechayev the other guy to build. Eli Imratza, if you want a fence in your bika, it's an unusual thing to want. So if you can't force your neighbor to do it, but if you want it, so here's what you do. Konis l'toch shalo, you could go in on your property, ubonen, build the fence on your property. I mean, you're allowed to do whatever you want on your property, you just can't force your neighbor to give up any part of his property. So you want to build fences on your property? Gesundate, go ahead. Va'ose chazes mi bachutz, and you just need to make some sort of hecker on the other side of the fence, so that it will be recognizable for years that you're the one that paid for that fence, so it won't lead to any disputes later on. Lefichach, im nafala kosel, if the wall subsequently falls down, hamakom va'avanim shelo, you'll get to keep the space, you'll get to keep the stones, because you paid for it originally, and everyone knows that you paid for it originally, because you made this chazis, you made some sort of hecker to let it be known. Im asumidas shnehen, but if, let's say, both neighbors out in the open fields, for some reason they both want to make a fence, so banu mesa kosel be'emtza, they still do build the wall in the middle, va'osin chazas mikan u'mikan, and they put a hecker on either side of the fence. Lefichach nafala kosel amakom v'avanim shel shneihem. So if the wall falls down, they split both the space and the stones. That's what they do if the wall falls down. If they both agree to build it, so they make a chazus on both sides to indicate that they both paid for it, and therefore it naturally comes out from there that if it falls down, they're going to divide it evenly. Now the Gemara is going to be clear that in the Lishna Basra of the Gemara, that the chiyuv to build a wall is in order to prevent hezek re'iyah, right? That we're going to have two lashonos in the Gemara, whether there's such a notion called hezek re'iyah, or there's no such thing as hezek re'iyah, as damaging just by seeing. So the second lashon in the Gemara is that there is such a thing called hezek re'iyah, and the source for the idea of staying away from damaging your neighbor and being able to be forced to do things that will keep you away from damaging your neighbor, the Gemara darshens the Masech Sanhedrin on the pasuk Ushvatem Tzedek Bein Ish Ubein Geiro, that Afilu Bein Taner Likirayim, that if you have anything that could be damaging to your neighbor, you have to keep that away from your neighbor. Rabbi Chananel writes over there, Tzorech Lios Hadayin Baki Kama Harchokos Hatanu Min Hakosel V'chein Kol Kayotze B'zeh, that a dayan has to know how far to keep things away from something else in order to prevent it from doing damage. That's all from Bein Ishu Ben Gero. Now the implication is, from Rabbi Chananel, some Sofer points out in the Chuvin Chosh Mishpah Seminayin Test, is that this is a din d'oraisa, that the harchakas nezikin, to make sure that you set up a system whereby you won't come to damage your friend, is a din d'oraisa. So if the hezek riyas shmei hezek, and I need a wall to prevent me from doing Hezek Re'ia, that is a Din D'Oraisa to build the wall. It's Masna Kasav L'Chachamim to be Koveya exactly what the proper precautions are, but the fact that there are precautions would be a Din D'Oraisa. However, as we pointed out before, the Rambam doesn't sound that way at all. The Rambam says this whole Masechta is all Derabanans, Hasharos, you know, just figuring it out, Divrei Kabbalah. In none of this is D'Oraisa. So it seems to be that it's at least a Machlokas whether these Dinim are a Din D'Oraisa or not. Good, our Mishnah had said that if the minig is to build a wall, you build the wall right in the middle. So Rabbeinu Yonah discusses, what if it's and in terms of the building material, you choose the building material of the minig Medina. Rabbeinu Yonah discusses, what if you're in a brand new city that doesn't have a minig? So can you just build the cheapest type of wall? Do you need to build any sort of material? So he says, you're not allowed to build with hutza v'dafna. You're not allowed to build with some sort of just reeds that are very, very flimsy, but you could use the cheapest of the four types of materials mentioned in the Mishnah. And his raya is that the Gemara in Daf Dalet Amud Aleph says Hakol Kaminag Medina comes to teach us that if the minig is hutza v'dafna, you can even build with that, which implies that if there's no minig, then you're not allowed to build with hutza v'dafna. It's only if the minig is hutza v'dafna, then you're allowed to build with that. And the Chassam Sofer writes that that's only in a chatzar, but in a gina, Rabbeinu Yonah holds that when there's no minig, you can even build behutza v'dafna. That's the shita of Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rishonim have a discussion, do we force someone to build a wall even when the minig is not to build? The Rabbeinu Yonah writes that our Mishnah is talking about a new city or a city that doesn't have a minig kavua of what partners do, but in a place where the minig is that nobody builds because no one is makbid about Hezek Re'iyah, then you can never be mechayev a neighbor to build. And just like in Gina, Makam Shnagu Lo Ligdar Ein Mechayev Nosalim, Nosalim Gemara is going to say that if the minig is not to build in the garden, you cannot force your neighbor to build. Kal v'chomer, that the Hezek Re'iyah and Agina stronger than the Hezek Re'iyah and the Chatzar. So kal v'chomer, in a place where the minig is not to build, you cannot force someone else to build in the Chatzar. That's how Rabbeinu Yonah holds. However, the Rashba and the Rush reject this Rabbeinu Yonah. When the Gemara says that Hezek Re'iyah in a Gina is stricter than Hezek Re'iyah in a Chatzar, that's only if you assume Hezek Re'iyah lo Shmei Hezek. But if you assume Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek, then Hezek Re'iyah of a Chatzar is stronger than Hezek Re'iyah of a Gina. Why is that so? What is Hezek Re'iyah? Hezek Re'iyah is lack of privacy. So when you're in a Chatzar, it's your yard where they used to do laundry, they used to do a number of private things that they didn't want people looking in when they were doing so. If you're worried about privacy, certainly privacy one has in a chatzer. One does more private things in a chatzer than one does in a in a gina. But if you hold that privacy is just not an issue, Hezek Re'iyah lo Shmei Hezek, so then certainly a fence in a gina is going to be more important, because by a gina there's a separate issue we're going to see on Amud Beis called Ayin Hara, that by a gina that's where all your success is. That's where you could see the person's garden, his vegetables are growing, he's going to be successful, this is where he's going to make money, this is where he's going to be able to provide food for his family, as opposed to a chatzar. It's just a chatzar, it's just a place where you hang out. So the element of Ayin Hara is certainly stronger in a gina than it is in a chatzar. The element of privacy is certainly stronger in a chatzar than it is in a gina. So if you hold Hezek Re'iyah as Shmei Hezek, that means you care about privacy. So then chatzar is more important than a gina. But if you hold Hezek Re'iyah lav Shmei Hezek, it means privacy is not really an issue in halacha. But Ayin Hara certainly is. So then a fence in a gina is going to be more important than a fence in a chatzar. So that's how we understand the Mishnah. There's a discussion in some of the achronim. You know, what about would a glass mechitza work? In the Tshuvas Avkas Rochel, which is the Tshuvas of the Beis Yosef, he has a stunning comment, because he writes, yeah, glass mechitza, why not? It works for Hezek Re'iyah. What do you mean it works for Hezek? He says, yeah, it's mafsik, it catches the eye, so you're so busy looking at the wall itself, you're not going to be looking at the other side of the wall, because, you know, so he says it's a glass mechitza is not a problem. So in the Pischei Tshuva, in Simon Kufman and Dalit, he says, clearly he must have been talking about a different kind of glass than like the glass we make windows out of, or something like that. You can't say that a glass mechitza that a person doesn't see to the other side. He must have been talking about some type of a thick crystal or something like that. that, or fogged glass, or something, where you can see some basic shapes, where you can't really see what's really going on. And the Torah Tumimah also says mechitza of zuchuchas doesn't help to stop hazakri. And his raya is for the Gemara Brachos Daf Chafeim Beis that erva ba'ashashis asu likros kriya shema kenegda. You're not allowed to read kriya shema in front of erva. What if the erva is behind the glass? Well, it doesn't matter that it's behind the glass. You can still see it. So you're not allowed to read kriya shema even if it's erva ba'ashashis. The author of Doviv Misharim in his Ha'aris on the Shulchan Aruch writes based on the Beis Yosef that glass mechitza is enough to stop Hezek Re'iyah. He says Mistam, it's enough to stop Ayin Hara as well. So he says if someone is looking at your garden with his glasses on, so then it's not a problem of Ayin Hara. Well, very difficult to understand that's Pashto is like the Pesachei Tshuva, that if you could see an Adrab with glasses, you could see better, so then you would imagine that's a stronger Hezek Re'iyah, it's a stronger Ayin Hara, or it's at least as strong. That's the startling comment of the Avkas Rochel, of the Beis Yosef, and his Chuvas Avkas Rochel. Let's see the Gemara. Savrua, we initially thought, my mechitza, guda. That the word mechitza, the word savrua, typically, by the way, when you have savrua, it means we initially thought, but don't worry, we're going to show that this is not true. So Tosus points out over here that Afagavdul Basov Ka'i, come on. Even though it's true that the word mechitza means a fence, and that's a defensible position, that mechitza means guda, and as we're going to see, that therefore means hezek riyas lav shmei hezek, so it is able to stand lemaskana, we still use the word savrua because the lishna basra, which understands differently, is going to be the lashon that we really paskin like. But the savrua doesn't mean that it's just a hava amin over here that's rejected. It's not really rejected. It's just that, meaning the Gemara never really rejects it as incorrect. We're just saying that we're really going to paskin like the other lashon, so that's why we use the word savruha. So that's how Rabbi Natan, that's how Tosus explains the word savruha over here. But anyway, savruha, my mechitza, we're assuming, what is a mechitza? A guda. A mechitza is an actual wall. Kidetanya, how do I know mechitza means an actual wall? Because we have a braisa that says as follows, mechitza sakerem shenifritza. Let's say you have a wall of a kerem, a wall between a vineyard and a field of grain that falls down. Now, if a vineyard is growing right near a field of grain, that's a problem of kilei kerem. Everything's going to be asur ba'anah. You need a fence between them. Let's say it fell down. Omer lo gedar. So you warn the guy, do me a favor, rebuild the fence. So he rebuilds it, then chazra v'nifritza. Again, there's a breach in the wall. Omer lo gedar. Again, you tell him, you got to rebuild it so that we don't asur everybody's produce over here. And at some point he just decides, you know what, I'm not building. He gives up and he doesn't build it. Now everything is asubana v'chayiv bachriusa, and you need to pay for the damage being done by your vines to your neighbor's grain, because you're making it all asubana. So why are we quoting all this? Because you see the term is mechitzas hakerem. What is a mechitzas hakerem? It's a wall. So the details of this halacha are not really about kilei hakerem, are not really critical to what we're trying to prove over here. They happen to be fascinating about how exactly kilei hakerem works, but not at all critical to what we're trying to prove over here. All we're trying to prove over here is language, that the word mechitza means a wall. In fact, the Rishonim are a little bit bothered. You know, is that the only place in Shas we find the word mechitza? The word mechitza comes up all over the place. Why dafka we have to quote a brisa about kilei hakerem? So the Ramban and the Rashba say, you know, didn't have to quote this brisa. There are a lot of mishnayos and a lot of brisas where the word mechitza is used and it clearly means a wall. We just happened to pick one of them off at the top of our head, and they chose this brisa because it was chaviva l'chachamim, because it seems like a very great chiddush, meaning the actual din in this brisa is a very great chiddush, because from this brisa we learn that there's a chiyav in dina degarmi. What damage? I have to pay for the grain that's damaged by my vines, the halachic damage that makes it kilei hakerem. What damage did I do? I didn't go over to his property and start ripping things up. I didn't burn things down. I didn't let my ox go in. What damage? This is garmi. So it's a great chiddush that there's such something called dina de garmi, this indirect damage that I'm going to be chayav for. That's why we like to quote this brisa, because it's such a nice chiddush. But really, it could have quoted a million brises and a million mishnayos that all have the word mechitza in it. So us. The bottom line is the word mechitza means a wall. Okay, so what do we see in our Mishnah then? So translating our Mishnah, you have shutafin that ratzu lasos mechitza, that want to build a wall. So says Gemara, okay, taima de ratzu. The reason they have to build a wall is because they want to build a wall. Hello, ratzu. But if they had never agreed that they want to build a wall, ain't mechayved also. Even though they may be splitting up the property between them, we're not going to be mechayved them to actually build a wall. Alma has grielav shmehezik. Must be that if I can't force you to build a wall between my property and your property, there, that hezekri is not a real thing. That hezekri is not considered a genuine hezek. So says Gemara, but how do you know that's pshat in the Mishnah? Ve'ima mechitza plukta. Maybe a mechitza just means a division, that we want to divide the property. That if shutvim decide to divide the property, then they must build a wall between the two properties. So maybe it means plukta, kedichsiv, vati mechtsa seida, because the pasuk, when it talks about after the war with Midian, how they divided up the spoils of war between those who fought in the battle and those who stayed back, so it also uses the term of mechitza. So maybe mechitza just means to divide things up. You don't know that mechitza necessarily means a wall. And then what's our Mishnah saying? V'kiva deratzu, since they decide they want to divide the property between the two of them. Meaning, how did this start? It started as a chatzar that both people are shutvim, their partners, they own the whole thing. And they decided, you know what, I don't want to own the whole thing together with you. I'd rather own half of it all by myself. So I want to keep half and you'll keep half. That was their whole decision, to divide the property. Then once they decide to divide the property, then I can force you to build a wall. So Alma Hezekriah Shmei Ezek. If that's the way you understand it, then the Mishnah is telling me that Hezekriah Shmei Ezek, that it actually is Ezek. So Frek the Gemara, well, if that were the way to read it, Ihachi Hai Sharatu Lasos Mechitza Sharatu Lachzos Mibayilei. Why does it say that they Ratu Lasos Mechitza? What it should have said is, if they just want to divide it, then by definition they have to build a mechitza. The fact that it says sheratzu lasos mechitza implies that the ratzu is going on wanting to build a mechitza, that they only have to build a mechitza if they actually want to. Elamai guda. So what do you want to say? That mechitza means a wall, like we suggested? Well, then bonin asakosel. Why did the Mishnah use the phrase bonin asakosel? They build the wall. We already said the word mechitza. We know we're talking about a wall. Bonosomi bayle. It should just say they build it. Why does it have to say they build a wall? So it says more no itana oso. If it only would have said oso, I would think even a small, tiny barrier between them would suffice. So that's why it has to mention that once they agree to build a wall, it means a real wall, that they have to build a genuine wall, that having a small barrier is not going to be enough. So bottom line is, what we've just proven is, the word mechitza means a wall. If the word mechitza means a wall, what our Mishnah is saying is, they only have to build a wall once they have both committed to building a wall. But if they did not commit to building a wall, neither party can force the other to do so, because Hezekriah is lav shmei hezek. We're not worried about Hezekriah. Before we move on, though, we do need to pay a little bit of attention to the detail of to the example that we gave to show that mechitza is a wall. What was the example of mechitza sakerim? A wall between my vineyard and your grain field that falls down and keeps on growing a little bit. I keep on planning on building a little bit more. So that was the example that we gave. So Tosfos writes that the reason, it's a strange way that the Braisa sets it up. Shenifritza omlo gedar, chazer v'nifritza omlo gedar. Keeps going down and up and down and up. Why is that relevant? Meaning the point is that if I decide not to build a wall and my vines destroy your grain, I have to pay for it. Dina d'garbi, that's the halacha. Why do we have to go back and forth? I built it, and I said, yeah, no, maybe. So why do we have to keep on repeating that it's nifritzom lo gedar? So Tosfos writes in Dibra Maskul Omer to tell me that even though you warned him the first time and he did build it, if it goes down again, you do need to warn him a second time. You don't say, obviously he knows I want him to build it because I told him the first time that I wanted to build it. You do need to remind him a second time, because maybe he thinks that he only has an obligation to build it once. Maybe the guy doesn't realize that he has an obligation to keep on building it if it keeps on falling down. Rabbi Natan then writes that the reason that it says it twice is to tell me that even if it grows, you know, how much growth would make it kilei akerem? Let's say the grain grew while there was a wall, then the wall fell down. How much more does it have to grow to asur all the grain? So the halacha is 1/200th of its total growth has to be with, if 1/200th of its total growth is without a wall, that's enough to asur. It's batel b'masayim. But once you have a ratio of more than 1/200th, then it's going to asur it. So what if the first time the fence fell down, it grew 1/400th? And then you built the fence, and then it fell down again, and it grew a little more. Are we mitzarif the different growths from the different time? So Rabbi Natan says that's the chiddush of nifritzu amlo gedar, that if it only gets to that 1/200th mark by combining the growth of the two times that the wall was down, so we're not mitzarif to make it aser. Each time it becomes batel when you rebuild it. That's how Rabbi Natan understands. So Tosfos Maseches Baba Kama and Daf Kuf Amud Beis and the Ramban ask on Rabbi Natan, so then how could klai ever become aser? How could it ever? It should always be batel, because the second it grows a minute amount, we say, okay, it's batel. And then it grows a minute amount more, okay, it's batel. So, meaning you're never going to have an iser. It's never going to be 200, because it's always going to be kama kama batel. It's always going to be batel. So, that's what the Baal HaTos point out. No, it's dafka if there was something that stopped the process, that it grew a minute amount, then you built a wall. So once you built the wall, that stops the process. That's why you're allowed to start the cheshbon again. You can't just say every second, oh, it just grew a minute amount, okay, now it's batel, now it's all good again. And then it grows, that's viewed as one long process if it's continually growing. You would need something to actually stop the process. But more pertinent over here is, Tosfos raises the question, what kind of hezek is this? That I'm damaging you by my grapes being there while your grain is growing. Isn't this a classic example of hezek she'eino nikker? That if I damage you in a way that's not recognizable, so the Gemara says in Maseches Gittin Daf Mem Gimel, that hezek she'eino nikker, like I'm a tame your items, I take your truma and mix it with chula, I take your chula and mix it with truma rather, or I take your wine and I'm menasech it for avodah zarah, lo shmei hezek. Physically, it's the same exact item. That's not called hezek. So why by klayim do we say that it's called hezek? I did physically, your grain is fine. If you were to go to the market and sell that grain, no one would know the difference. It would look exactly the same. So why is this called hezek? So it says Tosos, it's called hezek nikker because the definition of hezek nikker versus hezek sheino nikker is not halachic damage versus physical damage. That's not the definition. The definition of hezek nikker versus hezek sheino nikker is, if I'm looking at the situation, would I know that there's a problem? So if I'm looking at grapes growing right next to grain, I know that there's a problem there. That there's a problem that these grapes and the grain, they're not allowed to grow next to each other. Enochinami, it may not be physical damage, but it's only halachic damage, but just the very knowledge that there's a problem. As opposed to other Rishonim seem to assume, the Rambam writes, Mazik Momen Chaver Hezek Sheino Nikker, since lo nishtana hadover velo nifsada tzuraso, the Rambam in the 7th paragraph of Chovel Mazik, since physically the item hasn't changed, that's called a Hezek Sheino Nikker. And that's how the Ramban seems to understand as well. So fundamental machlokas between the Ramban and Rambam on the one side, and Tosfos on the other side. How do we define hezek she'eino nikker? Tosfos says any time you would look at it and not notice that there's an issue there, that's called hezek she'eino nikker. And the Ramban says, no, it means if it's not a physical damage, that's called a hezek she'eino nikker. Rav Zilberstein gives the example, for example, let's say a person takes a medical supplies and removes them from the packaging. So it's now, it now can't be used because it's full of germs or whatever. But physically, the item is perfectly fine. You know, the needle physically looks great. So there may be germ, but you would know if a doctor walked into to an operating room and he saw that things had been removed from the sterile packaging. So then he would know that that's a problem. So maybe that's the difference. Or maybe no. Maybe in that case, that's a physical change also, because germs are physical. It's just they're very, very tiny. So okay, yesh lodun on something like that. But this is a fundamental machlokas between Tosfos Tosfos and the Ramban. It's a much bigger sugya, but let's try to move on over here. Says the Gemara, Bornes HaKosel Be'emtza. So you build the Kosel in the middle. So it says Gemara, Pshita. Of course you build the Kosel in the middle. Lo Tzricha Dekadim Chad V'ratzi L'Chavrei. Now the case is, one of the neighbors over here was the driving force behind getting this done, behind getting this Chalukah. He was clearly the one that wanted this to happen. So Ma'ad Detem Matziyam Le'kiyas V'atzayi Lach Ba'avira. So the other neighbor might say, look, I agreed to go along with your plan in terms of giving up, you know, the view that I have in the airspace or whatever. But B'tashmishto Lo'as V'atzayi Lach, I wasn't planning on giving up actual Tfachim on the ground in my chatz. That much I wasn't willing to do. So Kamashmalan therefore comes to tell me, no, once you agree, it means that you agree to actually give up the space in your property. The Hezek Ria Lav Shmei Hezek. Now the Gemara is going to ask a series of six questions on this idea that Hezek Ria is potentially not called Hezek. Is Hezek Ria really not called Hezek? So six problems with that. Tashma, problem number one from our Mishnah. The Chain Begina. It says in our Mishnah that by a garden also you can force the person to build a fence. So why is it that you can? Obviously because of Hezek Ria. Says Gemara, no, Kina Shaini, a garden is different, Kedra Rabbi Abba. Dam Rabbi Abba, Maravun, Amrav, Asla Adam Lama, Besad Chavero, Beshashi, Omedis Bekamose, that you're not allowed to stand in your friend's field when the grain is fully grown, because that's an Ayin Hara. So by a garden, it's different than Hezek Ria. It's a stronger type of Hezek called Ayin Hara, or a different type of Hezek called Ayin Hara. So it's true, by a garden, you can force the guy to build, but not because Hezek Ria Shmei Hezek, but that's because of the more powerful force called Ayin Hara. In general, we do have Ayin Hara come up in a number of places in Halacha and a few places in Shas, that we do assume that drawing attention to one's success can be damaging. But Ramesha writes, and Rabbi Yaakov also, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky is quoted as saying, that the Ayin Hara falls in the category of man de kapit kaptinon, man de lo kapit lo kaptinon. That if you're not worried about Ayin Hara, it doesn't affect you. It only affects you if you're worried about it. But it is real, it can affect you if you're in fact worried about it. So that's why a garden is different. Don't tell me a garden is a different halacha. It says the word v'chein in the Mishnah. It sounds like it's the same halacha. Now, gvil v'gazis. The v'chein is going on the materials that you have to build the wall out of. That's all. Tashma, another raya. Kosel chatzar shenafal on the chayvinos and livinos ad dal ramos. If a wall between two chatzaros fell down, one neighbor could force the other one to build it back up until four ramos. Aye, how could he force him to build it back up? Must be because Hezek Ria Shmei Hezek. Says Gemara, nafal shiny. No, that was a case where it already existed and it fell down. That's why you could force him. With the karila my karila, why would you even think to bring this as a raya? Obviously, nafal is shiny. Says Gemara, safe it's srichle. Now, I would have thought the only reason we had the idea that it fell down is to teach me the chiddush of the seifa, that midal ramos lemaila in mechayvin also. That even though it used to be six amos tall, I can only force him to rebuild it to four amos tall, where the guy won't be able to see over the wall. Tashma, third raya. Kofinos alivnos beishar videlis. You can force a neighbor to build a gatehouse and a security booth and a door to your chatzer. Shmamina Hezek Ria Shmei Hezek. So don't you see Hezek Ria Shmei Hezek? Because the whole purpose of all this is to keep people out from doing what? What are they going to do? All they're going to be able to do is look. There's nothing to steal from there. So Hezek and the Rabbim Shiny. No, it's true. Hezek Ria of a lot of people is something that you are worried about and is called Hezek. It's just Hezek Ria of a Yachid is not. Udiyachid though. Oh, but wait, I'll bring you another kasha. Tashma. You can't force a neighbor to divide a chatzar unless each of you are going to get four amos. If each of you will get four amos, then you can force him to divide. My lav bekosel, doesn't that mean that you can force him to build a wall because of Hezek Ria? No, it means you can just force him to make a partition there, but not an actual wall. Another raya. If you're building a wall next to your neighbor's house, and there are windows in your neighbor's house, you need to make sure your wall is at least four amos above the level of any window, or four amos below the level of any window, and four amos away in distance from any window across. You need it to be four amos above so you can't look down into his house. You need to make sure it's more than four amos below his window level so that you can't stand on your wall and look inside his windows. Meet Kenegdan Kadeshul Yafil, and you need to make sure that you're far almost away in space from his windows so you don't darken his whole house by blocking out all the sunlight. But don't you see that we're worried about you looking inside his house? Isn't that an issue of Hezekriya? Hezekah the Bayis Shiny. Hezekriya in a house is certainly an issue of Hezekriya, but that's different. That's in a house. We're talking about in Chatzar. Tashma last right. If your roof is next to your friend's chatzer, you build a 4-amah fence. So don't you see, because you're worried that you're going to be looking in, and it says a griya? Says, no, shayn yasam darmele bal chatzer lebalagag. The bal chatzer could say to the balagag, lididi kavi'ali tashmishi. Look, I'm always in the chatzer, so I'm always kavua here. Lididach lo kavi'alach tashmishtach. But it's unpredictable to know when you're going to be on your roof, when you're not going to be on your roof. So I'm going to have this constant false sense of security that I can do private things in my chatzer, thinking that you're not really on your roof. So I don't know when you're going to be there to know that I should therefore watch out from you and be careful. See, if we were both in Chatzeros, we're both always there. So I know I'm trained to always be careful. So then there's no problem of Hezekriya. But if you're on a roof where you might be there sometimes, and I'm not even aware when you are there, when you're not, so then I'm not going to be trained to be careful about the Hezekriya. That's when I'm Dafka Makran Hezekriya. So at the end of the day, 6 Rayas at Hezekriya Shmei Hezek, but we rejected each and every raya. So, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll get to the Lishna Achrina.